You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Welcome to the latest podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute. Once again, we find ourselves talking about the announcement from March this year that astronomers had detected the first evidence of primordial gravitational waves. This has been in and out of the news, for good and bad, over the past 6 months. You'll remember that this discovery was touted as the first direct proof of cosmic inflation theory, the idea that the early universe went through a period of rapid expansion. On the May and June podcasts, we heard from inflation's founding fathers Alan Guth and Andre Linde about how the discovery supports inflation.
But does it really prove inflation theory? I put it to you, Brendan, that actually the opposite is true, and the detection of primordial gravitational waves by BICEP 2 actually disproves inflation.
What? No, that's crazy.
It's what a new analysis surprisingly suggests, but I'll come back to that in a minute after we've spoken a bit about dust.
Ah yes, dust. Keen podcast listeners will remember the long-running concern over whether the BICEP 2 team even detected gravitational waves, or whether they'd actually been fooled by space dust. The trouble was that the BICEP 2 team examined light in the cosmic microwave background, that is, the radiation left over after the Big Bang. They announced evidence of B modes, a twisted polarization pattern in the light, which they attributed to primordial gravitational waves. But again, in the May and June podcasts, we discussed concerns that possibly this polarization pattern was produced by dust and not gravitational waves at all. If I recall correctly, we were waiting for independent data from the European Space Agency's Planck satellite to try and clear up this mess.
Indeed, we were. And some of that data has now come in. In September, the Planck collaboration released intermediate data which showed that there's likely to be more dust in the region examined by BICEP 2 than the BICEP 2 team originally accounted for. In fact, it's possible that the entire signal is just dust. It's also possible, however, that it's not, and there are in fact gravitational waves.
Well, that clears everything up.
I don't blame you for being confused or annoyed, Brendan. Earlier, I spoke with Andrew Liddle, an astrophysicist at the Royal Observatory, Edinburgh, to try and work out what to make of all of this. Liddle is a member of the Planck collaboration, although he wasn't involved in this particular paper. He talked me through the latest findings from Planck and what they mean in terms of what may or may not have been detected by BICEP 2. Even more intriguingly, in a separate analysis, Liddle and his colleagues have calculated that if the BICEP 2 signal is not due to dust and does in fact represent the detection of primordial gravitational waves, then in fact that result is not compatible with inflation, at least not with the simplest models of inflation. Liddle told me all about this surprising result after reviewing the implications of the Planck analysis of dust for the BICEP 2 result. Spoiler alert, it's not good news. Liddle began by explaining why it's so hard for astronomers to unpick whether the B-mode signal is caused by gravitational waves or by dust.
So I think one of the important things to remember, first of all, is that any of these signals is very faint indeed. So we're always struggling just at the limits of what can be detected. So when BICEP 2 produced their results, they were looking for an interpretation in terms of primordial gravitational waves. And it looked as a headline result, very strong. They were quoting 7 sigma, which is really a very statistically secure sounding signal. But nevertheless, they were digging very deep into their data in order to produce that. So if you have a map of these famous B modes, it's not as if you can look at the map and they immediately jump out to you as being something very visible. It's really hidden in the details of the analysis and the statistical measurements. So because of that, there are different possible sources that can contribute to the signal that BICEP 2 is seeing. And they thought that they had a good handle on possible contribution from dust grains, which are probably within our own galaxy and therefore much, much closer to us than the origin of the microwave background. They thought they had a good handle on the possible signal, but quickly people began to doubt whether that was really the case.
And so, you know, people were waiting for this Planck paper to come out and say something about dust. And now a paper has come out. Can you explain what exactly was found?
So what Planck's been doing is it's been making measurements, it's been making maps of the sky, and in a channel known as the 353 gigahertz channel, because jargon really, but it's the frequency of the observations, that channel is primarily sensitive to emission from the dust. And so it's been making maps and trying to guess what the distribution of dust is within our galaxy, and particularly what the polarization of that dust is, which is the thing which is key to the gravitational waves and to BICEP. The trouble is that BICEP 2 measures at quite a different frequency. They measure light, which is longer wavelength, 150 gigahertz. And there's quite a bit of uncertainty in extrapolating from the Planck measurements down to what might be seen at another frequency. It's a bit like if you have an image made in blue light, you're trying to guess what things might look like if you were instead using a red filter. It wouldn't necessarily be that easy to predict one from the other, so a few assumptions have to go in there. So the thing people have been waiting for from Planck is to get measurements which are relevant specifically to the BICEP 2 region of the sky.
And so what is the sort of the take-home message of the paper? Is it saying that BICEP 2 most likely saw dust? Can it say whether or not gravitational waves were there or not there?
The message that we seem to be getting from the Planck paper is that there is a dust signal, and there should be a dust signal which is in the BICEP 2 region. And the inference from Planck is that probably the amount of dust in the BICEP 2 region is quite significantly higher than had been assumed when BICEP 2 wrote their paper. On the other hand, the Planck measurement is quite uncertain, and without combining Planck and BICEP data, there remains quite a bit of uncertainty in that. So the Planck signal is consistent with quite a wide range of contributions from dust. Certainly at the high end, the Planck's measurement would suggest that all of the BICEP 2 signal could be dust, but it does leave some room for the possibility that that's not, and that BICEP 2 has some part of a cosmological signal in it.
Now, you mentioned that it's important for some kind of joint analysis between the two groups, between BICEP 2 and Planck. Is that something that's in the works?
Yes.
And what will that be looking at?
Yes, that's underway. So there is a memorandum of understanding between the two teams to share their data. Planck is at the moment working towards its next release of its own data for cosmology, which is due towards the end of this calendar year. But at the same time, are also trying to work with the BICEP 2 team, and hopefully something may come out on a fairly similar timescale, so within the next few months.
Now, you've actually been involved in another piece of work that's independent from the actual Planck result. And you've sort of been analysing different scenarios in terms of the amount of dust that might be there and kind of comparing the results and looking at what that might tell us about the kind of models of inflation that could fit with that sort of data or the interpretations. Could you talk a little bit more about the aim of that paper?
Yes, it's a paper that we've just submitted to the archive. It's by Marina Cortes and myself at Edinburgh and David Parkinson at University of Queensland in Australia. And we've been working on it for quite a while since BICEP 2 first came out earlier in the year. Originally, from quite a theoretical perspective, we wanted to go really back to the basics and try and really define the models we wanted to compare to the data, particularly inflation models, and try and understand what kinds of inflation models might be compatible with the data that we had, which was the earlier release of the Planck data, older data from the WMAP satellite, and then the new BICEP 2 data. Two things had happened very quickly after BICEP 2 came out. One was that quite a few papers had noted that the BICEP 2 signal was really higher than would be expected based on what the Planck satellite had already shown for how much gravitational waves could be there. the biceps signal was perhaps twice as high as an upper limit that the Planck satellite had set. The numbers are not quite directly comparable. They're probing slightly different things, but nevertheless, it was noted that that discrepancy was there, and that actually simple inflation models were not very good at explaining that change in signal. So there's some worries on the theoretical side already. And also very quickly after the BICEP result came out, there started to be these rumors of the possibility of dust contamination. And there were some papers, particularly by Mortensen and Seljak and by Flauger et al., which seemed to indicate that dust could be quite a problem for BICEP. So we wanted to carry out a new analysis of the data that made some different models for the dust. And the idea was to try and see how introducing the dust would modify the way we'd understand inflation models and whether it could make inflation models more compatible with the combination of Planck and BICEP data.
And so what did you find for the different scenarios? I guess you looked across a range of, you know, a lot of dust and then not very much dust.
So one of the things that I was particularly interested in was there was this discrepancy I just mentioned where the normal inflation models actually couldn't simultaneously explain the Planck upper limits and the BICEP signal. And dust is a possible explanation for why that might be true. If some of the BICEP signal is due to dust rather than due to primordial gravitational waves, that means you don't have to explain so much of a signal. It could bring BICEP back in line with the limits that Planck gave. And so that was one of the things we were interested in, was to see whether or not there were scenarios where BICEP could still have detected the gravitational waves, but in a region that was more compatible with standard inflation models. In fact, we didn't show that.
Oh.
What was discovered was instead that if there is a contribution from dust, if the dust is strong enough to allow the standard models of inflation to explain the data, then it removes too much of the signal. And although there might be a gravitational wave contribution to BICEP, BICEP just doesn't have the sensitivity to measure it in any kind of convincing way. So that's an interesting corner we've been painted into. We wanted BICEP to be right, we wanted Planck to be right, and we wanted inflation to be right. But we found there wasn't actually any way to make all three of these things right simultaneously. One of them has to be turned down. When I say inflation right, I really mean the simpler models of inflation, the ones where go back a long time to models by Linde and other people like that. There are always complicated inflation models that you can try to use to explain more complicated kinds of data.
So there's some irony here, I guess, that originally in March, the BICEP 2 results were being presented as this kind of proof of inflation. But now, if we want to hold on to the simple models of inflation, it might actually be better if the result is down to dust and there isn't a BICEP 2 signal. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, you're exactly right. It's a horrendous irony, I think. And one, to be fair, that had become apparent from some of the very early works just after the BICEP result came out that seemed to show that the BICEP signal was unreasonably large by the standards expected from inflation models. But yeah, you're spot on. It sounded like gravitational waves were a good thing for inflation, but in fact, if BICEP had been precisely right, it would have painted us into a very difficult corner where none of the simple inflation models would have worked.
That was Andrew Little talking with Zia. So, in summary, the BICEP 2 result could be completely due to dust, or maybe not. But if it's really due to gravitational waves, that would be bad news for simple models of inflation. Or there's something wrong with the previous Planck data. But more complicated inflation models could potentially make everything fit. My, my, my.
You can hear previous interviews in this long-running saga with André Linde, Alan Guth, João Magaggio, and Malcolm Fairbairn. Links can be found on the podcast page www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.